Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy 41 for the high today. Some of you may or may not have had a chance over the weekend to see the press conference with Mayor Evans, some members of law enforcement, talk about the ongoing theft in this city. And, you know, vandalism when it comes to vehicles.
Yeah, it's been tough.
It seems to be happening almost every night now in different parts of the city. We wanted to get some more answers, ask some questions on what the mayor's office, along with the police, actually plan on doing moving forward. And to help us answer some of these questions is criminal defense attorney Sarah Wesley, who's on the phone with us this morning. Hi, good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Queen.
Last time we had you on with us, we spoke about the car vandalism going on in the city. And it seems almost inevitable at this point, Sarah, that if you live in the city and you don't have a garage or a gated parking, then most likely your car is going to be the target of theft or vandalism. Like, it's the odds of having your window smashed are pretty good. But recently, we see on TV the mayor, who seemed to be extremely frustrated because he's very aware of this issue. He spoke with public defenders on what their game plan is for combating this issue. And I guess we were hoping you can tell us a little more of what the plan is for moving forward and if we can actually expect to see some changes in the near future to just feel safer.
Sure. So it sounds like Mayor Evans is really taking these like nuisance property crimes, which are really affecting people's way of life to heart and trying to do something about it. I know previously when we talked, you know, the night before we talked last time, 40 cars on Oxford had their windows smashed in. I think two nights ago, another 15 to 20 cars had their windows smashed in. And it's not even clear whether or not this is that's the purpose, right? Whether the whole point is just vandalism or if it's theft. So what it sounds like Mayor Evans is doing is kind of redirecting the focus and the prioritization of these types of crimes. Previously, when you would call, you would maybe be directed to call 311 rather than 911. And Mayor Evans is now making these an officer response call. So that means that if you call 911, someone is a uniformed officer is going to come, show up, respond to that call, take the report. And it sounds like the police department, along with the mayor's office, have really, you know, decided that this is completely out of control and it needs a little bit more special attention than what was previously happening.
Yeah. And the whole, I think the frustration people are facing, like you said, including myself, after the break-in, if you did call 911, the first thing they tell you is this is not an emergency.
Yeah.
You need to call 311. And by the way, when you did call 311 and file that report, what happens to it? It's just kept on file?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incident report that's generated. And so obviously they would like and hope to be able to follow up on that, to close that case out, to find a suspect. But in these types of crimes, it's often highly unlikely that they're going to find anybody.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of these parking lots have surveillance cameras, including mine. And, you know, the theft that took place in my lot took place twice in less than 3 months. And yes, they are on camera, but what can you really do with that footage? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, unless there's a clear picture of an individual's face, it's going to be really hard for the police to follow up on that. However, that being said, the Rochester Police Department is using facial recognition technology in cases at this point. So there is essentially some software that they can run an image through. And if that image, if that individual has, for example, a prior arrest on record and a mugshot, then the biometric data from their face can be used to identify them. It's it's interesting software. It's was currently used in a homicide that I'm working on. So as a defense counsel, of course, I had a million questions right. about the reliability of it and the bias associated with it. But it's actually rather impressive technology.
Where is that technology?
That's utilized through the Monroe County Crime Lab, like not the lab, rather, but the analysis center. So those folks have software and they have access to that software. And if there's a clear image of an individual's face, they can then run it through that program.
So, Sarah, what is to come and what is to be expected for these people who are living in fear constantly, going to bed at night thinking, is my car going to be there in one piece when I wake up in the morning?
Yeah. You know, the last couple of weekends, Sarah, I sat guard at my window like I'm neighborhood watch.
Yeah, fully.
Just because
he can do anything, truly.
I just have anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a helpless feeling, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And when you feel hopeless and helpless, then it becomes really frustrating. You know, I wish I could say that there was going to be some perfect answer to this, but I don't know that there is. The mayor's office is doing what I think is probably appropriate at this juncture, which is sort of creating like a mini task force. They are assigning a detective to be overseeing all of these investigations. And so if you've got one individual who's sort of singular focus is then focusing on these crimes and trying to reduce or identify who's perpetrating these crimes. It's better than nothing, right? So at this point, I think, you know, they've acknowledged, at least the government's acknowledged, that this is a significant problem, that it's not getting better, that it seems to be getting worse, and using targeted efforts to try to resolve some of this.
Well, it's a small step, but the fact that if you do call 911, them sending out an officer instead of directing you to 311, I mean, that's, you know, that in itself is good news. There was a story this morning in the news about license plate readers, LPR technology. Yep. And that's exactly what helped catch those three teens in Greece this past Saturday when they stole those two Hyundais, led in a crash, and then there was a foot chase. Do you know a lot about the license plate readers? Are those cameras implemented in the parking lots at Eastview Mall? Is that the same thing?
Know if they have that technology available to sources outside of the government.
Sure.
Certainly, they're equipped on many state trooper cars. I believe that Monroe County Sheriff have some of them. I don't know how it works. I couldn't tell you the actual technical aspects
right.
behind it. But it does read the license plate and then comes back to the DMV with a bunch of information, who the registered owner of that vehicle is. If the license plate is stolen, right, if it's on the wrong vehicle, if the vehicle's stolen, and potentially, you know, whether the registration has lapsed or is expired, suspended, et cetera. So
those three teens were issued appearance tickets.
Sounds right.
Yeah, right. But you doing what you do as a criminal defense attorney, how many times have you seen in situations where they were given an appearance ticket, it never showed up to court?
You know, that's actually an interesting question. The return rate to court is not bad, actually. We
really?
Don't have a lot of people who get an appearance ticket and then just completely blow it off and ignore it. You know, of course, that happens occasionally. But once they can get into an initial court appearance, often the Pretrial Services Corporation is an organization that helps specifically with making sure that people return to court. So if you get into the court, you're going to get a text message before every court appearance, a letter to your home, your last address. So there's really not as much kind of jumping bail,
right.
if that's what you want to call it, or not, failures to appear.
Right. But as far as getting an appearance ticket and going before the judge, what are the repercussions?
If you don't do that, you could have an arrest warrant issued for you and ultimately be picked up. The initial bail reform that we have has reduced the number of people who are being held pending the prosecution of their cases. A lot of people, there was pretty significant inequity when you're talking about class distinctions and people who were from lower socioeconomic crimes or families were sitting in jail for really, really, really long periods of time.
Sure.
Particularly for nonviolent crime, right?
Right.
So while this is certainly difficult and problematic, you know, I think ultimately, if you're in the court system, you're going to be dealt with. If you're a juvenile, you're going to be dealt with through the family court system. So those are teenagers. But what we're talking about with the car damaging and the vandalism is likely criminal mischief. Some of that damage can rise to the level of felony level offenses. So it depends on, depends on the extent of the damage.
Sarah, thanks for shedding some light on this morning. We love when we have you on with us. We really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Happy to do it anytime, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Sarah Wesley, criminal defense attorney in Rochester. Thank you, Sarah. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's Peaks by Mornings. You got Moose and Breezy. We'll be right back.
Here's an idea.